As you know, we are in Jeremiah 50. So I went ahead and I read through Jeremiah. I do that, I think, every Wednesday. And it's just getting shorter and shorter every time I do it. Of course, we're getting closer to the end of the book. And I had asked my wife, actually, I said, where do you think we ought to go after Jeremiah? And you know what she said? Genesis.
Well, you did. I'm not saying that we got to go there, you know, but it's a, I think it's as good a book as any of them in there, you know. Right? I like the book of Genesis. I really do. It's nice and long. We'll be there for a long time. But that's okay. Where else are we going to go? Right? Amen. It's foundational. And so I love it because she always shies off. It's not because I said it. Should we go there? Well, you know why we're in Jeremiah, right? Kevin. Kevin said, let's do Jeremiah. And we've been here for weeks and weeks and weeks. And it has been good.
Yes,
it really has. And last week we looked at how God was talking to Jeremiah about Babylon, but also about pastors, about the shepherds, and how the shepherds were not doing what they were supposed to do, and how the sheep were suffering because the shepherds weren't feeding the flock. They were feeding themselves. We looked over in Ezekiel 34, and we read some scriptures out of there, and it caused my prayers to change a little bit this week as I was thinking of that. And I fear for the people that are standing, the men that are standing behind the pulpits and not preaching the Word of God. We know that a pastor is held to a higher accountability than other just regular lay people. I'm not certain that many pastors fear that anymore. You know, that's a reality to them. But again, that's not my bother. Yeah, I worry about that. I worry about them because, you know, they're I love them, right? And not only do I love them, I love the people that God has entrusted to their leadership. And my heart breaks for the pastors that are too afraid to open the Word of God and just preach it like it is, you know. So lift up pastors and lift up the congregations. That they would want to hear truth, right? That they would want to hear truth. And that God would raise up men to stand in those places. And so, we also talked about how Cyrus and, who's the other guy that came with him? Darius. So Cyrus and Darius, they came around Babylon, and how they actually redirected the Euphrates, and the water went down enough. They walked right underneath the gates, and the city was conquered. That magnificent, huge metropolis was conquered in an evening, and nobody even really knew it. Some historians say it may have taken months before the regular lay people even realized what had happened. You know, because they couldn't siege the city because Babylon had plenty of water. They had the Euphrates running through it. They had stored up food and forever, right? They had, from what I understand, like 17 years worth of grain stored in the city, right? So a siege would have been impossible. You couldn't have done it. And the walls were so thick and so many. There's a huge wall on the outside, then there's an interior wall and an interior wall on the inside of that. So you couldn't breach the walls to get into the city. But the Lord said, you're going to fall, and you're going to fall this day. You're going to fall this night. And even though Belshazzar was having a great party, you know, enjoying life, drinking, defiling the things of God, God wrote on his wall, many, many
weighed in
the balance and found wanting. And today, tonight, the kingdom has been taken from you.
Yeah.
Right? And that evening, it was gone. And so when we get into this tonight, we're going to look where God says that, especially in chapter 50 and 51, where God says, I'm going to send an army out of the north, and they're going to decimate that city. they're going to destroy it. They're going to tear down the walls. God says, I'm going to have my archers draw back the bow, and I'm going to fire. I'm going to tear that place down, and it will no longer be a place fit for human inhabitants. Well, that didn't happen here in Jeremiah's day or in Daniel's day. So that made me think that must be a future day that God's talking about. Right? There is coming a day that God's going to fight. God's going to fight against Babylon. And that we'll find that in Romans chapter Revelation chapter 13 tonight. But let's get into this chapter 50 and verse 9. I'm just going to read through, because when I read through, I'm wanting to put that other thought in your head, and then we're going to flip over to the Revelation and see the fulfillment of this prophecy. Although Jeremiah was writing it, right, and it still hadn't happened yet. Jeremiah was putting it on paper, but the fall of Babylon hasn't happened yet. And then when we look in the way that God says it is going to fall, it's never fallen that way. Events that God says is going to happen didn't happen when Darius and Cyrus came into the area and conquered Babylon. So it has to be speaking of another time further off, right? And so, the harlot who rides the beast, Mystery Babylon, right? We'll be looking into that by the grace of God. And so in verse 9, for lo, I will rise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken, their arrows as as of a mighty expert man. None shall return in vain. Medo-Persia was not north of Babylon. All right, because they were Persians, right? The Medes and the Persians came together to come against. They were not coming from the north. They didn't come from the north. They came from the east. You know, and so the geographical stuff is different. It's kind of weird, isn't it? When you look at it geographically, they didn't come like from Russia down into Babylon. The Persians were on side. The Medes were on the other side. They are a little bit geographically, a little bit north of Babylon City, but it's not like coming due out of due north, right? And so, Chaldea shall be a spoil, and that her spoil shall be satisfied, saith the Lord, because ye were glad, because ye rejoice, O ye destroyers of mine heritage, because ye are grown fat as the heifer at grass, and the bellow as bulls. Your mother shall be sore confounded. She that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of the nations shall be a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert. Because the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at her and all of her plagues. But yourselves, and put yourselves in array against Babylon round about, all ye that bend the bow, and shoot her. Spare no arrows, for she hath sinned against the Lord. Shout against her round about. She hath given her hand, her foundations are fallen, her walls are torn down, for it is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance upon her, as she hath done, do unto her. Cut off the sower from Babylon, and him that handleth the sickle in the time of harvest. For fear of the oppressing sword, they shall turn every one to his people, and they shall flee every one to his own land. Israel is a scattered sheep, the lions have driven him away. First, the king of Syria hath devoured him, and last at this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, hath broken his bones. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land, as I have punished the king of Syria, and I will bring Israel again
to this habitation, and he shall flee on camels and Bashan, excuse me, and his soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim and Gilead. In those, Gilead? I said it wrong? Gilead, thank you. Gilead. In those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity, thank you, of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. I will pardon them whom I reserve. Thank you, God, for that. Now, you look at everything he said there. God says, I'm going to come against Babylon because Babylon really hurt Israel more than what they were supposed to. They oppressed them. They came after them. Although God said that that's exactly what Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon was going to do, that he was going to surround Jerusalem, he was going to surround Judah, and that he was going to attack them, and there would be piles of corpses. Remember back in 38 and 28 and all that, where God said, this is what Babylon's going to do to you if you don't repent. Well, Babylon did exactly that. Now, God said, because you did that, I'm going to come against you. So, in my little finite mind, you know, what I see is that God said, all right, Babylon, you have permission to conquer Israel. You have permission to do that. But you don't have permission to do everything that I saw you were going to do. Yeah. You know, he says, I see, do you know that God sees the atrocities done by man, but it's not agreed on by God that they should do them? And I think that's it. I think, and I'm saying I think because I'm not God, okay? But when I read Scripture and I'm looking at what happened, what God said was going to happen, what did happen, and then the payment that God's going to do to the ones who did that, God said, you did it because you went too far. I did give you permission to come and chasten my people, right? But you took it to an nth degree. I did say that you could come and you could make war against the people and you could take them captive. And then God saw what they were going to do. They were going to lay the city to waste.
Remember, like, even the chief captain?
Yes.
Nebuchadnezzar's the chief Nebuzaradan.
Yeah.
I mean, he knew. When he talked to Jeremiah, he knew this is why this happened.
Yes.
You sinned against God.
Right.
So they knew.
They knew.
Babylon must have had a basic understanding that this was judgment.
That this was judgment.
By God.
By God.
Yep.
And so all these things were happening, but I like this where God says, but I have a remnant. I have a piece of people that are of whom I have reserved, verse 20. In those days, and at that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. Amen. I like that when my accuser goes before the Father and talks about my iniquity before him, there is none. Right? There is none. Every sin that I commit, I confess it to the Lord Jesus Christ to the best of my ability, right? And I confess it, I repent from it, and I do my best not to go back that way. My best very seldom is good enough. I don't know about y'all, but I seem to step in the same pile over and over, right? And I know it's there, I'm going to step in it anyhow. It's just the way that it is, the same pile of sin. Amen. Scrape it off, right? You know. Get a stick, dig it out. You know, don't track it in the house. But you repent from that. And God sees your repentance, right? And he says he's faithful. He's just to forgive that. So when the accuser comes before the Father, he says, you know that rat Curtis that you saved, that you came and you died for? Well, he's still doing, did you see him stepping in that same pile? Yeah, did you see him do that again? I says, no, I don't see him do that. You know, I have a vague recollection that he asked for forgiveness for that. But since he asked for forgiveness of that, it is separated as far as the east is from the west and drowned in the deepest parts of the ocean. There's no remembrance of it. Praise God. Israel's going to have that same time. There's coming a day that the iniquity of Israel shall be mentioned but not found, shall be sought for and not found.
There is coming a day. I like this thought too. There's coming a day that this sinner by the name of Curtis is going to stand before God blameless. I don't know how he's going. Well, yeah, I do know how he's going to do it. He did it through his son, through his sacrifice. He did it because he said he would do it if I would believe in him. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we follow him as our Lord as closely as we can, right? As close as you can. Then your sin's not remembered. Now, if you live a lifestyle, you call yourself a Christian, and you really don't repent, you don't. You go like that other group of people that God said, don't go to Egypt, and they went to Egypt. God said, I'm going to kill all of you rats there, and nobody's coming back. You're not going to be part of the remnant that comes back into Israel. And so anyhow, as he says here in 20, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. He has a reserved group of people. He has his remnant, if you could call it that. Verse 21, go up against the land of
Marathaim,
even against it, and against the inhabitants of
Pekod.
I don't know. Me neither. And waste and utterly destroy after them, saith the Lord, and do according to all that I have commanded thee. A sound of battle in the land of great destruction. How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How is Babylon become a dissolution among the nations? I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon, and thou wast not aware. Thou art found and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord. The Lord hath opened his armory and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation, for this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from the uttermost border, open her storehouses, cast her up as heaps, destroy her utterly, let nothing be left. Slay all of the bullocks, let them go down to the slaughter. Woe unto them, for their day is come, the time of their visitation. The voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon to declare in Zion, vengeance of the Lord our God, vengeance of his temple. Call together the archers against Babylon, and all ye that now bow, camp against round about it, let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her work, according to all that she hath done, do unto her. For she hath been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Therefore shall her young men fall in the streets, and all her men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord. Behold, I am against thee, O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts. For thy day is come, the time that I will visit thee. And the most proud shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up. And I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall be, and it shall devour all about him, around about him. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. The children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together, and all that took them captives held them fast. They refused to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong. Amen. Mark this down in your book and put your, all right? I'm not big into changing the word of God, but your Redeemer is the same as their Redeemer, all right? Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall thoroughly plead their cause. There is one intercessor between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, right? We looked at that in men's group last night, that they may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. The sword is upon the Chaldeans, saith the Lord, and upon the inhabitants of Babylon, upon her princes, and upon her wise men. And a sword is upon the liars, that they shall dote. A sword is upon her mighty men, and they shall be dismayed. A sword is upon their horses, and upon their chariots, and upon their mingled people, and that are in the midst of her, and they shall come as a woman, they shall become as a woman. A sword upon her treasures, that they shall be robbed. A drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up. For it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. Therefore the wild beast of the desert and the wild beast of the islands shall dwell there, and the owls shall dwell therein, and there shall be no more inhabitant forever, neither shall it be from generation to generation. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. Behold, a people shall come from the north, a great nation, and many kings shall raise up from the coast of the earth, and they shall hold the bow and the lance. They are cruel and will not show mercy. Their voice shall roar like the sea, and they shall ride upon horses, every one in array, like a man in battle against thee, O daughter of Babylon. And the king of Babylon heard the report of them, and his hands were waxed feeble. Anguish took him, and pangs as a woman in travail. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan into the inhabitation of the strong. But I will make them suddenly run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? And who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before me? All right, who is he? Jesus. All right, Jesus is going to take vengeance on this. Therefore, hear the counsel of the Lord. He hath taken against Babylon and his purpose that he hath purposed against the land of Chaldeans. Surely the last of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their inhabitation desolate with them. And the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and the cry of the city as among the nations. All right. Chapter 51 is just like chapter 50. Okay? We can read through it, all right? But it reads almost the same. It's very, very, very... Okay. It's very similar, right? I am. Let's flip back to Revelation chapter 18, because where this takes place is, like we talked about before we started preaching, before we got into this, what God is proclaiming against Babylon didn't happen in Jeremiah's day. It didn't happen in Ezekiel's day. It didn't happen in Daniel's day. That war against Babylon that would knock down the walls and to actually wipe it off the face of the earth hasn't happened as of yet. But it's going to happen. All right? It happens when Jesus comes and he makes war with Babylon. Remember, I didn't mark down the verse, but he says, who will stand for me? Who's able to speak in my name? As it said in Jeremiah, the only one who could do that, who is like the Lord God Almighty who's going to do that? That is Jesus Christ. Who's like the Lord God Almighty? Well, Jesus Christ is the Lord God Almighty. He is God manifested in the flesh. And when he comes, he's going to absolutely devour the enemies. All right? And so in chapter 18 of the Revelation, and after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened in his glory, that he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the greatest fallen, is fallen, is become the habitation of devils, and a hole of every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. Doesn't that sound like Jeremiah 50? Right? You said that the owls, every foul bird was going to be there. I don't think he's talking about a crow. I believe that he's talking about spiritual wickedness coming upon them. Right? When you see fowls in Scripture, most of the time he's talking about devils coming. When the fowls rested in the branches, of the olive tree, right? It's where the wickedness comes into the church and starts to corrupt it. So every caged and unclean and hateful bird, verse 3, for all the nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard, what? Did I say that wrong? Okay. 18:3. Revelation 18, we're in verse 4. But looking at verses 1 through 3, as we looked at that, all of the things that God said that he was going to do to Babylon, he's talking about in the Revelation. Every foul bird is going to come to it. It's going. The kings of the earth are going to mess with her. Remember when Jeremiah, where God said that the kings of the earth are going to come against Babylon, talks about drawing back the strong bows and every arrow that's going to hit its mark. They're excellent marksmen. Well, God's going to do that. And verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, amen, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye be receive not her plagues. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. All right. Couple of things are going on there in my mind. Come out of her, my people. Mystery Babylon, all right, because right now Babylon is not a world power. But there was a wickedness that started in Babylon. It was a seed of the seat of Satan. It was a decrepitness. It was beautiful on the outside, but the inside was absolutely evil. And God said, listen, this evil, the delicacies that she has, the whole world has longed after and gotten fat through. They've all enjoyed the pornography that poured out of there. They all enjoyed the alcohol and the drugs that poured out of there. They all enjoyed the debauchery.
Where was the Tower of Babel?
It was there.
Okay.
Yes.
Tower of Babel represents a man's rise against God.
Yes. Yep.
Man rose up against God. That's why they built that.
Yes. That ziggurat.
Babylon,
you're right,
is a center of rebellion.
Yes.
That's what it is.
And it has been ever since then.
Yes, yes.
When everybody had one language, right?
It's a spirit about
it. Is God. Thank you. That's where I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Because God's talking about mystery Babylon, the spiritual Babylon, not the Babylon that you can find in longitude and latitude over in the Middle East. I should have looked up those numbers. That would have been really impressive. But I didn't. But anyhow, you can find it on a map. If you knew the longitude and latitude, you can find the geographical spot of Babylon. Okay, so anyhow. But he's not really although it happened right there, and it's right where the Ur of Chaldees and Babylon and Tigris rivers, it's right in that valley. Oh, golly.
Tigris-Euphrates.
It's that valley in between those. That's where Babylon was located. All right?
So was it the
Garden of Eden? Well, Garden of Eden. When I was in school, they said that all the cradle of life, right? Civilization, yeah. That's what I was taught. That's where Cro-Magnon man first learned how to stand up and urinate, you know? And, or whatever, you know? Oh, it's where Lucy fell into the tar pit and became a human. I don't know. Y'all remember that? She was the missing link, Lucy. Right? Y'all remember that? It was back in the early 80s. They found a skeletal remain, and they said, this was the missing link.
Yeah.
This was it. We'll name it Lucy because we know it was feminine because she had her mouth open. I don't know. I'm sorry, ladies. That was really wrong of me to say that. But anyhow, we'll call it Lucy. And then after about 10 years of calling it Lucy, there's a missing link, they found out that it was just a chimp. It was a chimpanzee, like the very first missing link that they found. It was actually a hog's tooth. Right? They had this tooth, and they said that this is the missing link between animal and man. This was the thing that made the difference, and it was a fraud. It was kind of like, anyhow, I won't get our government involved in this right now, but yeah, it was like that. It was kind of a fraud. Fraud.
Science false is so false.
Amen. Yes. Yeah, science is false.
Wrapped up self-written.
You know, if well, I love it when science catches up with the scripture, right? And so, in all of that that was said, God said that I'm going to do this for him. For her sins, verse 5, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. The evilness of spiritual Babylon, which I really and truly believe that the industrial United States is caught up in. All right? If you don't think America is wicked, it is being controlled by devils in the heavenly realms, just look around a little bit. Open up your spiritual eyes and look at some stuff. You'll find out that...
Can I just say,
sure.
In chapter 17 and verse
15, yes.
He saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth, Mr. Babylon,
mm-hmm.
Mother Carlos, where thou saw where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues.
Yeah.
So it's not just the United States.
No.
It's
the whole system. It's the whole system. Thank you.
Yeah, you go back to chapter Jeremiah 51, verse 13,
mm-hmm.
and it says, O thou that dwellest upon many waters,
yes.
abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. So you can see it is prophetic.
It is, yeah.
It is, because certainly Babylon then was not in many waters.
Right, absolutely.
Right.
These two events are locked in together.
Yeah.
I guess that's all I was trying to say, that these two events, Revelation 17 and 18, and Jeremiah 50 and 51, they are the same events.
Yeah.
So there's coming a time that the wickedness, the prince of the power of the air, mystery Babylon, is going to have so much influence over all tongues,
yeah.
all peoples, all creatures, right, is going to so corrupt everything that iniquity is going to reach up into heaven, and God's going to come and take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding area, well, in fact, it talks about that in Jeremiah 50, that Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding area, their sin grew up, and God heard about it in heaven.
Yeah.
And he came down, and he talked to Abram about it. He says, listen, should I do this thing and not let my servant Abram know? He said, no, let me tell him. Hey, Abe, you know those guys down there? They are their iniquity, their sin has reached to heaven, and I got to deal with it. And then Abraham seeks the mercy of God. Would you do it for 50, if they're 50 righteous? If they're all the way down to 5. If there are 5 righteous, would you do it? God said, yeah, I'll spare it for 5. God didn't spare it. There were not 5. And all of that whole valley that were worthy to be saved. Mystery Babylon, the powers that be in control of the 10 horns of the beast, right? Because it talks about that in Revelation 13 also. The horns of the beast, the authorities that are setting over the nations of this world, Russia, China, America, they're being controlled by devils. There are the devil, well, with little devils underneath them, right? That are controlling the political scene. You know, we're always praying for the children and the persecuted church and stuff like that. Well, they're those children that are being trafficked.
Yeah.
They're being trafficked because of the mystery Babylon. All right? It's not Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton's doing. They're supporting it, but they're being played by a spiritual power that's over top of them. That's why I keep trying to say to us, you know, it's we can't fight them on their battlefield, right? I do not have the power to come against, in my own flesh, these things that are warring against the world right now, that are warring against righteousness. Go ahead, brother. No, not at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just in Revelation 18, verse 9,
yeah.
and down. Just let me just read this.
Yeah.
Kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Now,
mm-hmm.
you know, before that, let me just go back over to 17, verse 16. It says, and the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore,
right,
and shall make her desolate, and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree. So there's a lot of trauma within,
yep,
within the whole beast system.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to verse 9, in verse chapter 18, Revelation 18, 9, the kings of the earth who have committed fornication, just think of the kings of the earth,
right,
in this world, and live deliciously with her, shall bewail her, lament for her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Just like, mm-hmm, just like Babylon, physical
Babylon, yes.
I'm sure that came down within minutes.
Yeah, yes, it did.
And next verse, 11, it says, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and wail over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore.
Yeah.
Mercantile. Right?
Yes.
The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and of marble. Watch how this turns.
Mm-hmm.
And cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves.
And?
Yeah. Think of this, think, yep, of the slavery markets today.
Right, yeah.
And
the souls of men. Yeah. So that's what they're dealing in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Merchandise.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, chasing a little rabbit here. All right, I saw, as we spoke this, it ran out. There's a little rabbit just ran out of a bush. Do y'all know that our government just sold out the American people for like $7 or $8 trillion? You know what that comes down to? Well, I think it's like 45 cents a person. If you took every person in America. So our government just sold the liberties of every person in America for 45 or 49 cents a piece.
Hey, come on, it's business.
Hey.
Hey, you know.
There's no recession.
Yeah. Hey, you get over it.
But you look at this, what he's talking about here in the Revelation, what he's talking about in Jeremiah, Revelation 17, Revelation 18, Jeremiah 15, Jeremiah 51. You look at these scenarios. They interlock so finely, right? And what I see in both of these things, God has it, and it'll come up to where he has it up to here.
That's it.
I'm, yeah, not going to take it anymore. I'm going to come against this world system. Just like when he came down to Babylon, the Tower of Babel, the first time, yeah, and he confused their language.
Yeah.
Remember, they were, like you said, they were building a tower up to God to be like God. Right? That's what they were doing. And they all had... They all had, yep, one language.
That's right.
Right now, with the internet, we all have one language. Zeros and ones. Right? My wife's a computer person. Is that how they talk, computer people?
Mm-hmm. Do you know what there was, ones, Curtis? Huh. Let me just, again.
Yeah.
Because this is such a subject. The tower was built.
Yeah.
They were building it to crash through the firmament.
Yeah.
They wanted to break
yeah,
the firmament.
The glass ceiling.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
No? Yeah. Absolutely. That was the idea. That's what was going on. That is what is going on right now. The spiritual battles have not changed. What was that? That old FBI show, The Names Have Changed to Protect the Innocent, right? And so what was that?
Dragnet.
Yeah, Dragnet. And we changed the names to protect the innocent. And so that's the only thing that has changed, right? From Jeremiah's day to the time of the Revelation. From the time of Babel to the time of Jeremiah.
The only thing that changed was human faces and human names. Because the powers of wickedness, mystery Babylon, and the mystery of the gospel of God have still been the very same. So the battle that we've got to get involved in is not on their playing ground. We cannot fight or be victorious in this battle on their field. They have the home field advantage. But we have the real advantage. Only we really don't fight the way the Bible says fight the fight. Because when I see things going what I think is wicked because of what the Bible says, it makes me physically angry. It does. It makes me physically angry when I see the iniquity of mankind rising and the two-tier justice system all over the world happening, being unveiled, and they're not even ashamed of it. And I see these things. I get mad.
Think about Jesus.
Yeah.
Think about his trial.
Right. Yeah. And, all right, so what are we supposed to do about that? All right. Anger is an emotion. Be angry and sin not. My problem is the second part of that, sin not, right? I get angry, right? And then before I know it, I'm kicking rocks in the yard and God said, no, stop and pray. Read the Bible. I know these things are going to happen. I know that mystery Babylon is going to come up. And the closer we get to the end, the more wicked it's going to appear. Things are going to wax worse and worse. Jeremiah 51, towards the end of that chapter, it says, things are going to look worse and worse. It doesn't look better. Again, my two favorite words, but God. But God has all of these things in control. Right? I'm looking at the child trafficking because that movie that just came out, right? It just burns me. And then I think, well, this has been happening ever since Cain killed Abel. I mean, this has been happening forever. There's nothing new here. In fact, I think Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. Right? There's nothing we're experiencing, nothing we're having emotions about is new. So, God, right? So God, you know what's new? The only thing that's new? His mercy every morning. His mercy is new every morning. And if we're going to have hope in these end times and the way that things are going, they appear to be heading down this road, if we're going to have hope, it's going to have to be found in two places. One, first of all, is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The God the Father. We got to have faith in that. And then we've got to love the brother, right? We have got to love one another. Because if we can't get those two things right, there's no way that we can stand in this fight alone, by ourselves, out of our own grit. We can't do it. Because these are wickednesses that are, wow, exponentially evil.
Never a day like it.
I've never seen anything like it. And I study history, right? I do. I look back in times past, at times of Hitler, or times of the, I can't think of them, but the ancient Europe, the Dark Ages, things like that. It looked bad. The plague looked bad. But it didn't look nothing like this. Babylon. It was beautiful on the outside, but on the inside it was rotten to the core. This world that we're living in, dainties and delicacies. Yeah, you think about it, our dainties and delicacies. And God says to his people, come out of her, 18:4, and I heard a voice say, come out of her, my people,
that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. We've got to have spiritual mindsets for the time that we're in.
Yes.
It, that's really, the more I look at that, the more that's what I see. So we've got to have a spiritual mindset for the evil of the day, right? And so anyhow, praise God. We only have one more chapter of Jeremiah 52. And next week we'll jump into that. Because 50 and 51, they really culminate here in Revelation 17 and 18. Right? And I think we kind of put a period on that. So next week we'll do 52, and then after that we'll start in the beginning. Amen? So praise God. Dear Father, we thank you again so much for your word. We thank you, Father, for your love, your grace. I thank you for this Bible, Lord Jesus, that we can know all the things that are going by the way that things have been. Lord, you recorded these things for our edification, that we would be able to stand in the evil day, Father, and I thank you for that. I pray that you would just encourage us, Father, that we would come out from this evil of the day, Father, that we would be broken before you, that we might be lifted up, Lord God. And we thank you and we praise you for those things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.